Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Matthew Wells at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's programme, better data collection on the special challenges girls face around the world could help improve their lives, the UN Population Fund says. And we hear why girls living in war-torn South Sudan aren't getting the education and other rights that they deserve. But first, girls worldwide collectively spend more than 550 million hours each day cooking, cleaning, taking care of younger siblings and performing other unpaid household chores. The finding comes in a UN Children's Fund, or UNICEF, report which shows how gender disparity in domestic work starts early. It reveals that girls aged 5 to 14 spend 40% more time, or 160 million more hours each day, on household chores compared to boys their age. Claudia Kappa, a statistics specialist at UNICEF, told Rosemary Masumba that the study shows the need for more investment in girls.
Well, the uneven distribution of chores socialised girls and the society, the communities where they live, into thinking that a primary role for a girl is at home. And this approach reinforces gender stereotypes and perpetuates the girl's economic dependence. Imagine, of course, girls spend time around the house contributing. Boys do this as well. And we are not saying that all chores are bad, but such a huge investment of their time means that they have less time for playing, for socializing, for investing in their education, and they are growing up believing that their contribution to their families and societies is marginal, because there is still very little value overall that is attributed to household chores compared to, for instance, being engaged in economic activities. So it is important to recognize that, yes, it's something that girls have done, but this type of intense allocation of time to household chores is detrimental for the perception of girls.
I look at one of the items in the report that specifically talks about Africa. What would you like governments or non-governmental organizations to be able to do?
Well, everything starts with the recognition of the problem. And data are essential in bringing visibility to an issue. So in this case, we have been able to produce these statistics for the first time, thanks to the investment of many partners, including governments themselves. Because the data that we are releasing as UNICEF have been analyzed by us, but they've been collected through national statistical offices of the affected countries themselves. So there has been a growing recognition of the fact that household chores are important component of the time spent by children, and particularly girls. So there has been an increase in data availability through data collection in the affected countries. So I think this is an important point to make. So it starts with recognizing the problem, and then obviously providing opportunity for girls to be in school, for instance, to be able to access school, remain in school, and being able to learn in school. So this is also a very important component, and again, it's something that governments themselves have to take on with involvement of partners and support from agencies like UNICEF.
Improved data collection on issues girls face across the world can provide a better understanding of their lives and help solve their problems, according to the UN Population Fund, or UNFPA. The data can be used to further gender equality and empower women, a key focus of the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. On International Day of the Girl Child, marked annually on October the 11th, Priyanka Shankar spoke to UNFPA's Satvika Chalasani. She began by asking her about the challenges adolescent girls face.
Adolescent girls and young women around the world, in fact, as you say, do share a common set of challenges, even though their individual contexts may differ. Some examples of these challenges in the area of sexual and reproductive health are early and forced marriage. There's high maternal mortality, which is often a result of early and unwanted childbearing. Then there's high HIV infection rates in many parts of the world. Or, for example, there's high levels of gender-based violence that young girls and women face across the world. But I do want to emphasize that despite all the common problems that girls face, they are unique in each situation, and they do require unique interventions, policies, and programs. And these need to be founded on a good understanding of girls and their issues based using data that are available to us.
But do you think this data should only concentrate on the girl child, or should this better data collection be carried out irrespective of gender types?
We do, of course, need data on boys as well as girls. In fact, many times in our work, we have found that we do not have enough data on younger adolescents, i.e., those between the ages of 10 and 14, and this is common to girls and boys. However, what's unique about girls is that in many parts of the world, they experience a very rapid set of transitions in a very short period of time. So during early adolescence, for example, girls can drop out of school by not making the transition from primary to secondary school. They may be married off as children.
South Sudan is one of the worst countries in the world to be a girl, according to a leading NGO. Save the Children says that 52% of girls are married before the age of 18 and do not enjoy the same access to education as boys. Joseph Akech is a policy and advocacy director with Save the Children based in South Sudan. He spoke to Sebit William and began by describing their latest campaign, Every Last Child.
Now we are focusing the launch on ensuring that every girl in South Sudan attains the right to education, protection and survival.
Why is it very, very important, especially to mark this day in South Sudan?
The plight in which girls in South Sudan are living in, the fear for rape, violence, you know, forced and early marriage, and a number of other, you know, conditions they face. So it is indeed important for South Sudan and for South Sudanese people to ensure that we come together and reflect on what we can do to, you know, give girls equal opportunities like boys, and in fact, remove the barriers that face girls to access education, healthcare, and protection needs.
I would like you to really say, how is it like to be a girl child in South Sudan right now?
South Sudan is one of the worst places to be a girl because chances of getting married before the age of 18 are very, very high. You know, 52% of girls are married before the age of 18. It is very difficult to be a child in South Sudan because you do not enjoy the right to education as compared to boys. Chances of being left at home to do domestic work are very high as compared to boys who are normally, you know, favored to go to school. And opportunities to really actualize the potentials of girls. We see even among the politicians, before the expanded national legislature, only 52% of the 332 parliamentarians were women. And so chances of girls really growing to realize their potential are quite limited in South Sudan.
Yes.
And because of the conflict, it has even increased and actually, you know, diminished the opportunities girls have in South Sudan.
In your own view, what needed to be done to ensure that girl child just have the same rights as a boy?
In particular, increase budget allocation to education, health and protection so that girls can access these fundamental human rights. It's to campaign with the communities, local authorities and chiefs to make sure that girls are not forced to marry, that child marriage is reduced or completely removed, and that girls, you know, as a result, have access to education. And overall, really, to create awareness in communities, to make sure that our views for girls change to that of human beings. Because in some communities, Sebit William, girls, you know, would actually be exchanged for cows out of their will. And it is really inhumane. So it's setting about to make sure that, you know, communities are engaged, communities respect and promote the rights of girls and their dignity.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York, and you can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.